So last year, I don't know if everyone was here when we did last year, but we did a quick survey of the reasons that the rationales for electricity being prohibited on Shabbat. Though we really focused on the modern approaches, like the last, you know, like 21st century approaches, that really emerged from some of the problems with the original analysis of the sources. So now we're going to go backwards, and we'll probably have to review the modern ones, but go to some of the earlier sources. So the halachic discussions about electricity divide into multiple sections, but the way it's often presented is there's the most stringent case, which is the case of the incandescent light bulb, right? That was like the one where all the poskim pretty much, though we'll see, not everybody coalesced behind a single position, that it was biblically prohibited to have an incandescent light bulb on Shabbat, not necessarily on Yom Tov, for reasons that we'll see. And for these purposes, incandescent light bulb becomes a stand-in for anything that has a heating element, right? So that eventually will become electric heaters, is the same idea, you know, like those space heaters that you have or don't have, or I don't know what the restrictions are in your apartments, but in Gersh we weren't allowed to have it because it burned down a dorm. So like, got it. But those things, right? Same idea. Rav Shlomo Zalman was really the person who wrote most expansively about it, but he wrote a whole book on it called Minarat Hamal, Ma'ore Eish rather, just on this topic. So that's one discussion. The second discussion are cases in which you don't have a burning hot filament, in which case you have to approach the sugya a little bit differently. So we're going to at least see the outline of these two issues. So let's start with the question of incandescent light bulbs. Okay? So, you know, we're going to do a survey. If you want a bit of a more in-depth treatment, you can borrow this book from me at some point. This is a very helpful book to have, B'chatzot Sort Beit Hashem. It was written by Rav Yisrael Rosen, who was the founder of the Tzomet Institute, if you know Tzomet, right? I think, did you go there? You probably went there at some point. It's the organization in Alon Shvut that is devoted to making technological devices that make it easier to use electricity on Shabbat, no? Okay. So anyway, so we took the guys. It's a worthwhile thing to do at some point. So he really, I mean, maybe not right now, I don't know if they're doing tours with whatever, but, you know, eventually. But they collected a lot of his articles over the years into this one volume, B'chatzotzot Beit Hashem. So it really lays out the relevant halakhic issues quite clearly. So So let me quickly summarize the issue in terms of incandescent light bulbs. So that really goes like this, and that will get us to where we need to go with electricity. So the category, I thought it was on this sheet, but apparently not. This is what happens when I, you know, can't make my own. But I'll summarize it outside. It's really not that complicated. Basically, the Gemara in Shabbat Daf Mem Bet introduces a category called Gachelet Shel Matechet. Right? The Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, Mechabin Gachelet Shel Matechet Birashut HaRabim, Bishvil Shelo Yizoku Bo Rabim. Avalo Gachelet Shel Eitz. Vimalachachin Shichal Lekufah Savarlaki Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says that if you are walking in the public sphere and you find a glowing ember, not an ember, red hot piece of metal, right? Gachelet shel matechet, a coal made of metal, essentially. So then you're allowed to put it out so that it won't cause damage to the public, but not if you find a burning piece of wood. And the reason for this, so Rashi explains, is that when it comes to kibui, when it comes to extinguishing a fire, so even though gachelet shel matechet, this burning hot piece of metal, might be considered fire, mid oraita, in order for something to be considered kibui, in order to be considered extinguishing, it has to be the type of extinguishing that will create pecham, will create charcoal. Because otherwise, extinguishing is not a constructive act, right? And there's a rule on Shabbat that nothing is asur mid'oraita unless it is a malacha, which is constructive, rather than mekalkel, right? If it's a destructive act, then it is at best rabbinically prohibited and not biblically prohibited. And therefore, extinguishing, which is almost definitionally a destructive act, we say is only prohibited on Shabbat if you do it in a constructive way, i.e., you do it in such a way that it, even though, yes, it's putting out the fire, it's also setting the groundwork for a better fire. So you probably know that next week, a week from today, when we light the Hanukkah candles, you know that sometimes the wick doesn't catch right at the beginning, right? It's like, it's just hard. So if you want it to catch better, right, I'm sure you've had this, right? It's hard to catch, but if you light the candle, it blows out, and you want to relight it, even though you're not obligated to, but you want to, the second time it catches much easier, right? Because once the wick is singed, right, it's much more flammable. It catches fire much more easily, right? So the Gemara says that the reason that mechabe is considered constructive is because when you blow out a fire, you create charcoal. You create something which is itself productive. Therefore, Rashi says that if you extinguish a piece of metal which is glowing hot, even if that's considered fire, so it won't be mechabe, because even if it's fire, it's, when you extinguish it, it's not the type of extinguishing that will create a constructive object. It won't create pecham. It won't create charcoal, a usable material. Now, what that already implies, though it doesn't state explicitly, is what? Is that this is a unique halacha in the extinguishing of red-hot metal. But in terms of igniting it, it sounds like it is potentially fire, right? Because it sounds like it's a unique halacha in extinguishing. Yeah. Good, right? So this is the question. So the question is, well, is that true, right? Is this fire? Because what would that tell us about fire, right? I mean, what would it tell us about halachic fire if...
Like, is fire just like a threshold over a certain temperature?
Right, so that's what we got to figure out, right? So that's what we got to figure out. So the Gemara doesn't address this directly, right, besides for the implication that we have here. But the implication of Rashi, right, again, the implication of Rashi is that it is fire, because it's a technicality that you don't violate mechabe, right? Namely, that it's not the type of extinguishing a fire that creates charcoal, which implies that it's fire. So right, that's the implication. So, but is that actually the case? So, this is a little bit less clear. So Shulchan Aruch tells us in Shin Lamed Dalet Chav Zayin that gachelet hamunachat memakom sherabim nizokim ba. When you find this coal that is in a place where people might get hurt, yachol chavota, you're allowed to extinguish it. Bein im yishol matechet, bein im yishol eitz, whether it's metal or it's wood. V'ramam oser b'shol eitz. And this comes down to whether or not we accept the maskana of the Gemara in Shabbat, and whether we think that that Gemara is dependent on the Machloket of Yehuda or Reb Shimon, in what way. Now, the Magen Avraham there writes in six words, why is it that you're allowed to extinguish, according to everybody, a red-hot piece of metal, So the Magen Avraham says like Rusi, because what we learn from here is that a red-hot metal is just not fire. Right? He just says, "Uvishal matechet leka kibui dina sare." It's not extinguishing because it was never lit. Right? That's how he reads it. There is no fire. Right? Fire is fire, not something which is as hot as fire. It's just not fire. Right? Fire isn't just something that gives off light and heat. It has to be something which has a substance which is consumed, which is, right, which has a, right, which has fuel. And that's the way the Magen Avraham seems to take it. The Magen Avraham actually seems to think that even an incandescent light bulb or a burning filament is not going to be halachic fire. Now, there were, but this is not at all a majority position, okay? This position was adopted by Rav Goren. Right, Rav Goren LaHalacha was one of the few people who, even once there were incandescent light bulbs and heating elements, actually weighed in and said, yeah, we follow this read of the Magen Avraham. And in fact, unless you have fire, so no type of burning filament, no type of heated filament is ever going to be considered fire. And this is what Rav Goren writes. He wrote, Natati elibi lachkor b'inyan zeh. I put my mind to understanding this. Ul'achar chakira u'dirisha yisodit. And after a in-depth and a fundamental analysis, his chaver etzlenu lilo kol sel shel safek psak alecha brura al hadlakat hachashmal b'shabbat. We came to the following conclusion about electricity on Shabbat. Shebarzel miluban eino nidon ke'esh klal mishum she'eino bo'er mamash. That a filament, an electric filament, or an electric current which heats up a filament still will not be fire because it doesn't burn. Based on the Magen Avraham, Beirish HaMagen Avraham Anal Barur, Shekamanatom Mashkadav She'eino Nisrav She'eino Chalav and Abach Leifer, because it's not consumed. Fire for Rav Goren needed to be consumed. Right? Needed it to be the type of thing that would consume the fuel, the object that was burning. V'davar pashut azam ha'od, she'in shum makom la'achmir b'chud zeh, she'betoch ha'chashmal mimatechet ha'mitchamein al yidei eish mamash. And therefore, there's no reason to be worried about these burning filaments, these heated filaments, as fire, ulufizem, nidbarer etev she'in klal chiyuv d'oraita al hadlakat minarat ha'chashmal v'shabbat. And therefore, it's 100% clear there is no biblical violation of turning on even an incandescent light bulb. It's just not fire, and that's all there is to it. And the Maharsham before him wrote something along these lines as well, in Tshuva Resh Ted Vav. And he says, V'la chay k'ani chokhech v'libi im ki behavara v'chiboy shel ha-electric, electric. There's too many letters in this word. He spells electric. This is like when you read the European Shuvah, it's impossible. Hey, ayin, lamed, ayin, kuf, tet, resh, yud, sadi, yud, tet, tet. Yeah, I don't know. Electric.
You wish it because you're getting electric.
Yeah, exactly. Yesh bo melacha d'oraita. Kevan z'lo yakam mishkan. He said, it's not, d'oraita is not in the mishkan. Yesh bo melacha mishkan mavara v'chibu v'chavingam sh'reino ish mamash v'eino sorei avarzel. I'll just say this outside quickly because it's sort of funny, but there were those who responded to him and said, no, you're wrong. I'll prove to you that fire doesn't need to consume to be defined as fire, because we know of at least one fire which was not consumed.
The burning bush.
But the Maharsham actually flipped it on his head and said, no. Fire needs to consume. That's why Moshe was shocked, right? Because he said the fire isn't consuming, which means it's not doing what fire normally does, right? Which means that you cannot prove anything from that story. Shocking, really. That is not where we learn all halacha of electricity on Shabbat. Really, really quite shocking. Yes, very shocking.
Yes.
That would be the very anticlimactic part of, like, all the Exodus movies. You know, he sees, Moshe sees the burning bush moving, and then you have a sidebar of halachic debating of whether that proves that electricity is...
We need Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but...
Of the Ten Commandments, yes, exactly. Okay, so your challenge is for Purim. You know, this is your Yudim Bayim sidebar, halachic sidebar of the burning bush. Yes. Okay. Enjoy. That's this is very, very, very narrow audience humor here. You know, it's very niche. Yes, though they might be part of the same niche who find it funny, you know. Look, I'm sure they will. Yes, you know they're whatever. Look, niche jokes are not bad as long as you're talking within the niche, you know. They can't hear you. Don't worry. They can hear me. They can't hear you. Right. This is the complaint I get sometimes. But mostly from the guys in my share, because if they're like, if they miss share and then they're listening, it's very weird because they'll hear me, but if anyone's participating, right? Because like I'm sitting behind this thing. What? No, they can't hear you. There's no way they can hear you, right? They might then ask me, who can I not hear and what were they saying, but they can't hear you. Okay, I won't divulge anything. But that is the minority position. The majority position was that whatever you think about electricity in general, incandescent light bulbs or any other burning filament, any other heated filament, is in fact going to be asur midoraita. And this is based on a basic consensus in the Rishonim, where the Rambam says, in Parak Yud Halacha Aleph of Hilchot Shabbat, HaMechamem in HaBarzel Kedei L'Sarfo B'mayim Arei Zeh Toldat Mavir V'Chayav. If you heat up metal in order to the sarfo mamayim is, you know, you put it into water to harden it, right? So you soften it with heat. What is that? What you, is it quenching when you're the metal? I think there's a better word for it, but it escapes me. I think there's a more technical term. So it is mavir. From here you see that mavir, right, burning. Lighting a fire does not require the burning of fuel, right? It just doesn't. Now, Rav Goren is aware of this Rambam, and Rav Goren says, no, the Rambam is talking in a very specific case, only when that's actually what you're doing, where you're heating up the metal in order to then, right, reform it and cool it in the water and harden it. So then it's d'oraita. But otherwise, heating a filament by itself is not asur. The Rambam in other places implies that it's not mavir, but it's mevashel. It's considered cooking. The Ravid seems to side with the latter formulation, that it's cooking. But whether you think a heated filament is cooking or fire, the majority view is reflected by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Minchat Shlomo Chelek Bet Siman Yutet, is that at least when there is a heated filament, which again, there aren't so many incandescent light bulbs floating around these days, but the same thing would be true of your space heaters and the like, so then it is definitely going to be d'oraita, either because of mavir, because of fire, or mivashel. I will point out that this works, that there is, besides for the chumrah part of this, there's other implications. So, for example, Havdalah, there's an argument to be made that if you have an incandescent light bulb, you can make the bracha on the incandescent light bulb, which you can't on LED or fluorescent or halogen. I'm not sure actually about halogen, I think. I don't know if you've ever seen the Machon Somet travel Shabbat candle lights. They basically created two electric candles for when people are traveling, because according to most poskim, you can fulfill the obligation of Shabbos candles with electric lights, because it really is about light. Some people want it to be with electric, with incandescent light bulbs, because then it's plausibly not just light, but fire. The problem, as I said, is that most lights these days are not incandescent, right? Because, you know, they're wasteful and they're... They're phasing them out. They're hard. You know, here it's very hard. Here most of them are you know, not. There are other things. Right. So that's basically what these are. Yeah. Like the Tzomet Shabbos candle lights are two little decorative candles with little incandescent light bulbs on the top. Right. Well, actually, Hanukkah time, this is important. I might, since Hanukkah is next week, I'll just mention this, that based on this, there were poskim who felt that you could fulfill your obligation of Hanukkah candles with electric lights. Now, they thought that you couldn't necessarily do with all electric lights. So they thought you might be able to do with electric lights. But Shlomo Zalman is this very interesting position that in order for it to be considered a Shabbat, a Hanukkah candle, it needs to not just be fire, it needs to be a candle. So what distinguishes a fire and a candle for Shlomo Zalman, is basically whether it has a finite fuel source or not. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman felt that you couldn't have a plug-in menorah as your menorah because since it's plugged into the wall, it has basically, essentially, an unlimited source of fuel. So he said, if you wanted to use an electric light, what you would have to do is use a battery-powered one. Because then the fuel source is all contained within the menorah. And therefore, ad hayom, people will tell you, some people will tell you, that if you're flying on an airplane on Hanukkah, so your last choice of lighting a Hanukkah, if you know you can't leave after nightfall or have a shliach light for you in your home or all the other mechanisms that are probably better, if you're really, really stuck lighting on the plane, so you can rely on this position of Rosh Hashanah Zalman without a bracha, because Rosh Hashanah Zalman only said this, he wasn't sure about it, but he thought that it was true, and will tell you to get a battery-powered, you know, you can really use a flashlight, right? Because a flashlight, you only need one candle, right? And that's the minimum. And I know people have done this. You just sort of stand up a flashlight on the plane and... Yeah, exactly, and then you turn it off, right? Yeah, my friend Rabbi Elon Mazur said he did this once. When he was traveling, his posting in general is Reb Nevenstahl, I think. Definitely a lot of the time, if not in general. And Reb Nevenstahl is a student of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and told him, yeah, if you have no choice, then this is what you should do. And he did the flashlight trick. And that again emerges from this position. It's a little bit more complicated because there are some people who say maybe it is fire, but it's not fire, which is similar to the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash, and maybe for Hanukkah you need something that looks like that in the Beit HaMikdash. There's all a bunch of other reasons that you might not like it, but at any rate, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, following the position we're going to see in a moment, felt that this was a plausible halachic position on Shabbat, that it's fire, and therefore for all the carryovers, for Hadlakat Neirot, on Shabbat, Havdalah, for Hanukkah, etc. So this is Rosh Shlomo Zalman's position. Hine barur, orach hashmala ke'ela she'itchelu lefakfek im nikra eish olav. There are those people who doubted or started to doubt whether a incandescent light bulb is fire. Ulam adavar hu pashut u barur shu eish gamur. But it is obvious and clear that it is fire. Ba'achut hadak shebetoch ha-menorah, the filament shem malbin v'lohet, that gives light, it heats up, or maybe it's or, right, it burns, it heats up, it gives light. Dino kigachelet shel matechet. It is like a metal coal. The avav yishu sagur b'toch zchuchit, she'murak v'mena yisod ha'chumtza, v'shum gar en achut kala v'nisrav, and even though it's in a bulb, which prevented from burning out, right, it limits the amount of oxygen. We can't introduce the thesis that fire is only that which consumes. The creation of fire or its increase in intensity is mavir. And that's what the Rambam says. Amachaneh Barazel, kidei litzarei Let's start from the minor. This old mav ear. Yeah, now he notes that if you did hold that fire needed to be consumed, so you can't really say, oh, well, eventually the light bulb will burn out, because in halakha in general, we rely on that which is sensed, and you know, you don't really sense that it's burning out, and therefore, if you're going to assume that a light bulb is ace, it must be because you think that ace does not need to consume the fuel. And then he notes, and even though scientists obviously know there's a difference between what we call fire and what we call a burning hot piece of metal, halachically they are the same. And his proof is that there's also chemical differences between a fire that's burned with oil or paraffin or, you know, whatever, any other fuel source. They're all different. Alcohol fires. Right, they're all different, and yet they're all fire, halachically. Right, scientifically they're different. For mivashel, there might be some differences. And he said, then he goes farther, and he says that the people who think that an incandescent light bulb is derabanan should presumably think that an electric oven is also derabanan for bishul. Right, because once you say it's not fire, so it's not fire, and he said, right, that's already, right, that's, he just can't accept any of these chidushim.
Is that more about creating change in things?
Well, no, because if you cooked it in the sun, it would be mutter. Well, yeah, right, if you cooked it in the sun, it would be mutter. Right, if you cooked it with something that was heated by the sun, it would be derabanan, because it looks like it was heated by fire. Right, so it's clear that it's not just the result, because we care about the source. Right, if you put it out in the middle of the Sahara Desert, even if it cooks, it's mutter l'chatchila. Right? And if you use a magnifying glass and make it told of chamas, then presumably it's also going to be rabbana. I mean, so therefore he concludes, and therefore it's just absurd to say that a filament is not fire. And this is in fact the majority position, that at least when it comes to heated filaments, we rule like the Rambam, and we assume that it is fire. Okay? That's the background incandescent light bulbs. But, as I said, this line of argumentation helps you for incandescent light bulbs, it helps you for space heaters, it helps you for electric ovens and electric stovetops, it helps you for hair dryers, basically anything that has a heated filament. But it doesn't help you for anything that doesn't have a heated filament. So, laptop, phone, LED neon, LED lights, halogens. No, halogens do get hot. I don't, whatever. What? Okay, I mean, it just helps us. It doesn't provide any halachic information, right? Meaning, it concludes that the result of a burning hot metal filament is H. But it doesn't tell you that electricity per se is problematic. It says nothing about electricity. It says something about the result of a burning hot filament. But it tells us, does nothing for us. It tells us nothing, okay? It tells us nothing about cell phones and laptops and LED lights and whatever. I don't know. Take your pick of all the different things that you have, your clocks and your... Why am I blanking on what we use electricity for? But everything, right? What? Fridge, probably. Yeah, it doesn't have a heating element. It's cooling element. Okay. So what about electricity? Stuff, right? Meaning electricity per se, and not electricity that causes a filament to burn. And what is halakha, right? So we started talking about this last year, but now let's go back to the earlier sources. So we saw already last week that perhaps one of the earliest positions was the position of the Beit Yitzchak. Remember, what did the Beit Yitzchak say?
Um,
Molin, right? Molin, right? That's here in 11 in a longer form than I gave you. Right, but it is the tshuva of the Beit Yitzchak. Okay? So that is possibility one. But the most machmir position that emerged was the position of the Chazon Ish. Okay, and the Chazon Ish was the one who saw in electricity bone, right? Either building or makeh v'patish, or the completing building act of a building. Now, where does he get this from? So, in order to understand this, we have to understand a little bit about the parameters of buildings. So here, look at the Gemara in Shabbat Mem Zayin. And I do thank, who is this? Shmuel Lesher for having a easily findable star sheet. So when my computer didn't work, I could get this on paper. And he put the translation, so there you go. Which was nice of him. So the Gemara says as follows. Levi bar Shmuel askachinhu la Rabbi Abba u Rav Huna bar Chia davu kaimeya pitcho de be Rav Huna. So Levi bar Shmuel found Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna bar Chia who were by Rav Huna's house. So Amar lehu malach dir mita shel tarsiyim b'shabbat. He said, are you allowed to reassemble this weaver's loom? Right? It was a collapsible thing on Shabbat. Amar lei shapir dummy. Said, yes. Also, look at Mezi Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, our Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shabbat, Amar, Sir Mika, Shabbat, Rabbi Shabbat, Chayv Chazat. But didn't Rabbi Shmuel say that if you reassemble this loom, then you violate Shabbat? And you're Chayv Chazat, meaning the biblical violation. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Meit ve'am achzer chanam b'no rabbi Shabbat, chayav chatat. If you put a menorah, a candelabra, back together on Shabbat, you're chayav chatat. It's biblically forbidden. Kana saiden lo yachzir, ve'merzir pator aval avasur. With a plasterer's pole, which has different parts to it, if you put it back, it's rabbinically forbidden, but not biblically. Rabbi Simoy Omer, Karen Agula Chayav, Karen Pshuta Patur. Rabbi Simoy says if you do it with you have a rounded horn, right, which is a trumpet which can be taken apart and it's hard to put back together, you're Chayav, but a straight horn which is easy to reassemble, so you are Patur. It's only Asur Midrabanan. So the Gemara, right, basically, right, begins the discussion. We know that there's a prohibition called bonam Shabbat, a building, right, and a makir fatish. But the Gemara's question is, okay, what if you're not building something new, but you're reassembling? So then, what is the halacha? And obviously, you can already see why this is relevant for circuits, because you're not creating something from new, right? You are putting, you're simply, right, reconnecting it. So there's good reason to believe that this would not be problematic. So the Gemara here is dealing with this, these things that are fundamentally built but have to be reassembled. So you have this bed, this loom thing, which they say can be reassembled. And then they said, but why? You have this other, the mitasel shart tarsiyim, which is biblically forbidden from putting together a candelabra. Reassembling it is forbidden on Shabbat. This plasterer's pole, which is somewhat easier to put together on Shabbat, rabbinically you shouldn't, but if you do, it's not biblically problematic. A horn, a trumpet, it depends. If it's circular and therefore complicated to build, once it's disassembled, putting it back together is considered rebuilding it, whereas if it's simple, so then it's not.
I see a furniture versus a collapsible.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. Right, that an IKEA furniture, even though it's meant to be assembled easily, still clearly, right, bone and makavadish, whatever, well, we'll see what it is, but that's clearly building, right, whatever it is, whereas opposed to, or a folding chair, right, a folding chair is not, right, a folding chair before it was flat, and now it's a chair, that's mutter, right, and I'm sure you have used folding chairs on Shabbat, not in Israel, no one has folding chairs, right, they have these ridiculous, right, they have these, the stackable chairs. No, people do have them. People bring them from America. It's like one of those things they put on their lips. I have folding chairs. Yeah.
Can I see a folding chair?
No, they do. There are folding chairs. The reason I think they're less popular in Israel is because there's less storage space in Israel.
Yeah.
So like these, right, they all take up the room of one chair because you can just stack them to the ceiling as opposed to like folding chairs that... Even five, houses don't come with closets, right? You have to build in... Well, but no matter how many you have of these, they take up the same amount of space in your house, so you can just stack them as opposed to folding chairs. The more you have... What? Yes. Yes, it is unimportant. I do agree. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Inu damar ki haitana detanya about mabenona mita krona mita chim shel sikvis lo yachzir ben erzir patur. He said, you're right. He holds that it is permitted, right? Meaning you have three positions. You have some things which are biblically prohibited and some which are rabbinically prohibited, but how could you ever say it's mutter? So he said, well, there's a third position who says that if you have this bed frame, right, which is basically collapsible, so you're even allowed to reassemble it. That if you reassemble it, it's patur, aval asur, v'lo yitkav, v'dagar chayv chadad, if you hammer it and it's chayav, or shimon gamliel, v'ir ma'ir apoy mutav, but if it's loose, not only is it not biblically prohibited, but it's mutar l'chatchila. Be'er v'chama v'ave mata gal lenita hadle biyutaba, amr le'u min rabban l'rabba, my daita min minasadu, need the surah del right aleka, yisur rabban amia'ika. So it said that Rav Huna used to have a collapsible bed and he would put it together on Yom Tov. And he said, how could you do that? How could you say that you can put it together? Maybe it's not biblically forbidden, but it is at least rabbinically forbidden. And he said, no, it's loose and therefore it's mutter even l'chatchila, right? So you have these three levels. Things which are building are biblically prohibited. Things that are like quasi-building might be rabbinically. And things that are loose, there's at least a position in the Gemara that... that it is permitted lechatchila. Now, Rashi, if you look, Rashi says, right, in number two, that the difference seems to be that yitka, when you do it with chozek strong, right, you make it permanent, then that is... Again, either makapadir jabona d'oraita, that comes to down to whether this is yesh binyan b'kelim. And the case of patur is when you, right, you have to take it apart and put it back together all the time. So this is the type of sugya here that is in the background. So let's skip for a moment now to the Chazon Ish, okay? Let's try to at least get the two main positions out there. So look at the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish came up with this argument that electricity closing the circuit is bone makuv patish, mostly bone. And he says in 7, this is Chazon Ish and Simon Nun. In Arachayim, oh yes, mishum tikun mana, you are fixing. When you close a circuit, you're fixing something. Kevan shema amido al tchunato lizrom et zerem achashmal b'tmidut b'karov adavar zebone min atorik osekli. Since you are building it, you're enabling it to work, you are making a new vessel. And there's a general machloket in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ein binyan b'kelim. There is no building b'kelim, but there's a machloket rishonim, whether that means Ein binyan b'kelim, that means that that building with kelim is not, or building a new kli is not. Everyone seems to agree that creating a new kli is usur, either because of bone, and then you limit the parameters of Ein binyan b'kelim, or because of makir patish. The Chazon Ish here takes the argument that closing the circuit is bone. Why? And there's a call to Kenkan, Shekala Chutim Mechubarin Labayiv, I like a bone Mechubar. And he said, even if you don't like bone, B'kelim, this is bone because is attached to the house. By plugging it in, you attach it to the wall, and therefore it's bonus. The ain gan mishum binyan v'cheilem eladino kimechubar the yesh bo mishum binyan u'stirav. But at any rate, in his building, and when you open the electricity, it's like tokei, it's like that jamming in, which we saw in the Gemara, right? Where you have to jam something in, right, to make it a permanent kli, it's usher. Whether you call that bone or makabah politics, the Chazon Ish doesn't care so much. And even if in some of the cases that we saw in the Gemara, those are only the Rabbanan, Hainu dafka b'har kavashel shtei gshamim she'efshar l'choshvan kishnayim. Kishnayim mishtasfin b'vula achat. That's when you're taking two pieces together. They'll really become one. So maybe you could conceptualize it as their abanan. Kol shepikuran nachut putiach sholam namuch. Aval tikun tzora ligashem and azay deshimush. But to put something together and make it usable. Badai chashiv bona. It is building. Even if it's only for some time and then you take it apart, doesn't matter. So the Chazon Ish comes up with a position that this is not like that Gemara. Right, that Gemara tells you that when you jam things into this Doraita, and even though some of those things are viewed as not Doraita, that doesn't matter. Because those are only maybe when you take two separate things that easily come apart, so that's not Doraita. But once you turn on an electric circuit, you have created an integrated whole, and now it's useful, and that is bona, tikkun mana, makabah patish, and that's why it's usur. Elsewhere, the Chazon Ish has a formulation that because it used to be essentially dead, and now it's alive, right? You've given it life. If you bring something from death to life, it is bona. Right? That is a different type of bona, which leads to these fascinating discussions. The same that we saw by Molid, right? There's some people talk about making seltzer being daraita. There's some who say making seltzer is bona because you're giving the water life, right? It used to be flat, and now it's bubbly. I see the look in your face. That is not even close to the reaction I had the first time I read that tshuva. Right? Like, I think I yelled at the top of my lungs in the middle of the Beit Midrash. I was just like, I was so horrified.
I understand if you're putting water, because that's literally like a lot. Bubbles are not bubbles. Like, bubbles are water.
Well, neither is electricity, but he's saying you give it chiyus. Give it a life force. I don't know. But your phone does die. Yes, we know. I know. It's figure speech that anthropomorphizes your phone, which is, you know, a problem. Now, but Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote a series of letters to the Chazon Ish where he pushed back on this. So look in 8 and 9, right? So look at, this is Chelek Aleph Simen Tet, and Chelek Aleph Shuvah Yud Aleph. It's also Yud Bet. So Shlomo Zalman pushed back, and he said, first he was asked about a microphone, right? And a telephone, he says, V'davar shimush b'mikrofon, telephone v'ramko v'morachol v'zorach tefila v'lekneset v'nigdam linen Shabbat v'yom tov v'darech eret sha'on v'shabbat v'yom tov. He wants to know about microphone on Shabbat and in chol for davening and a wind-up watch. So he says, yadua shigam linen sha'on tov v'erach shilet yayvet kepanim irot shim'ikra dinin shim'isra l'aroch sha'on v'shabbat v'shash omid l'gamrei. The Yaivitz felt that there's no problem in resetting a wind-up watch. Because since the watch is made to be rewound, it's no different than opening and closing a door. It's not creating something new. You're just using that which is. And he says, But I saw the Chazon Ish who said the Halacha is Erech Lo Yotzer Chadash Ruzer Yitzchok Al Panim Sheinu Kulam. The Chazon Ish, following his own argument, said, rewinding a watch is Bona or Makav HaPatish, because you're bringing it back to life. You're starting it again. He said, according to that, then I would have a shayla even on children's toys with a spring, right? And then maybe you could say that it's at least dirabanan because they're creating something new. But if you look at 9, he writes a letter to the Chazon Ish. Okay, and he writes, the Sefer Chazon Ish, I saw what you wrote in the Chazon Ish, he says, what you said is novel. What are you talking about? He said, with all due respect, people have been talking about electricity for 100 years, and no one ever said it's building. And I heard the Chazon Ish went farther. Even setting the clock in advance is bone, even though you're not doing anything now. He said, this is what I heard from the Chazon Ish. But he said, first of all, that's definitely wrong, right? Setting the timer is at best grumma. That's what his argument is.
Wait, he's talking about, like, winding a watch.
In the first one, he's talking about winding a watch, yeah. So Zalman thinks it's not bone. He thinks it might be Asur Midrabanan.
Okay.
But then he said, but what about this Chazon Ish's position that it's building? So he says, look down the next paragraph. He says, L'chora nirei lefiza, who was the name of Machnes Borek Toch Sha'ono Tomasik? Did you look at Yichabel Akrasman? So I'll just take a binion. Or according to the Chazon Ish, you would say setting a timer, so maybe it's Bonev. The Alagam Shuz over to Etim and Givin Chashuv Kisotim. We come up short at Kli. L'man Yichabel Akagat Chashman Me'elav Shever Chashuv Bonev. By setting the timer in motion, be Bonev. Elish nirei lefiza, nah, da, ti, tarach iyon. Kiyash l'ashivu pula, kazish regiyon zadir bekala sota. Wait a second. When you deal with an electric appliance, you're not creating something new. You're using something that's used all the time. How does this fit into the Gemara, right? How does this fit? The Gemara said, I create something new. It's bone. If it's tight, it's all right. If it's loose already, it's dirabanan. Or mutter lechatchila. Here, this seems to be even less than the Gemara's case of Derabbanan. The Chazon Ish says this is super Doraita, right? Because you're creating something new. You're bringing it to life. Shlomo Zalman looks back and he said, what are you talking about? The Gemara is talking about creating a new object. Tightly Doraita, weekly, Aser Derabbanan, Mutzel and Chafila. But an electric circuit, it totally existed the entire time. You're just using it. That's not bone. He said, "Lo dami lo zechalon b'layla v'vinyan shol bayit le'shemish ta'ir sham b'yom de'shaber chashuv bone gam b'layla." He said, "If I put in a window at night, sure, that's building, even though it doesn't have effect until the day. I get that." So sure, making a window, you build something. Go, it's building. Great. Said a timer, first of all, is external. And he said, besides, but he said, this is no different than turning on a faucet. Right? If everything is working, you just open the faucet, the water comes out. That's what you're doing. Etc. So therefore he says, he said, maybe the Chazon Ish, who says that even a timer is building, maybe that's if you set a timer forever, right? Like you set a timer now and forever. So maybe that's bonus. But otherwise it's grumma. So he says, I've heard that the Chazon Ish says that not only is it bona when you do it directly, but it's bona through a timer. He says, I don't buy either of them. Through the timer, that makes no sense because it's, first of all, it's only grumma, it's indirect. And second of all, you're just, in the end of the day, and this is where Shlomo Zalman has many, many arguments with Chazon Ish, but this is the argument he brings up over and over again, which is, look at the sugya we've been talking about. Right, the Chazon Ish looks at this, right, we have this sugya that tells us that when it comes to a kli, even if it is easily assembled, so if it's taken apart completely and you have to reassemble it tightly, so yes, it's d'oraita. If it goes back together easily, it's d'rabbanan. And if it goes back together loosely, it's mutar l'chatchila. But the Chazon Ish comes around and says, but if something was totally unusable before, so when I close the circuit and thereby I do two things. I close the circuit, I make it usable, I bring it to life, right? All these create a sort of constellation of values that we call bona or makavapatish, some sort of building. And he's so convinced of this, and he goes farther, he says, even if I set a timer in advance, right, it's bona. Because now I've built it in. And Rav Shlomo Zalman looks at him and he says, I don't get either argument. He said, first of all, a timer, even if you think that an electric circuit is usher, because it's bona, setting a timer is at best a rabbanon, because it's grumma, it's indirect. Right? This is not like building a window at night when it's not effective because there's no light. Because there you actually built something. Unless you're setting a timer forever, so maybe you could say you did something permanent, you changed the essence. That's not bona. But then more systematically, he says, I don't know what you're talking about, this is bona. Right? Bona is you create something new. Right? You create something new. You don't take something that's usable and use it. He said, closing a circuit is like turning off, on and off a faucet, or like opening and closing a door. Right, no one ever said that closing a door is bona, right? Because before there was a hole in the wall, now there's no hole in the wall, right? Even if you lock the door, why? Because that's how it's used, right? That's how it's used. It's derech hashmisho. It wasn't broken before, and it's not fixed now. It's not created now. It's just being used. And everything in the sugya was when it was disassembled before. When it's disassembled and you reassemble it. So then, if you reassemble it strongly, it might be d'oraita, weakly, d'rabbanan, etc. But that's not what's going on. An electric appliance, when it's not plugged in or it's not turned on, it's not broken. It's just, it's like water, right? I turn on the faucet, the water comes out. So here, I close it, the electric comes in, and now it's usable. But that's not bona. It was a vacuum before. It is a vacuum now. The circuit wasn't broken. The circuit was open. And now you're closing it. Right? That doesn't fit the model. So here you have two diametrically opposed positions. You have the Chazon Ish who views electricity is the most machmir and reject any comparison to these sugyos of reassembling that are derabanan or maybe it's loose or whatever. It's just usser because you're creating something new. And the Rosh Hashanah goes the opposite extreme. He says, what are you talking about? And if you look here at number six, as it's summarized in the Sefer Lamed and Malachot, he says, the Mavurmer Yisharim Adivrei HaPost can call the Bishabbat. Here's the rule of many poskim, of many Rishonim. Dechol shu derech tashmishto l'shayich bei shum melacha. Anything that's used in the normal way of using it, that's not melacha. Klomar, meaning to say, dechol maaseh v'kli o chefet shu derech v'open tashmishto. Anything that's used in the way that it's used, shel oto chefet, in the way that object is normally used, let bei mishum melacha d'oraita. It can't be d'oraita. But Tom, and what's the reason? Because usage cannot be considered the finishing of a process. Usage is exactly what it sounds like. It's usage. This is true for bona and makavapatish. But he says it's true in other malachos as well. And this is the the main set of arguments that Rav Shlomo Zalman levied against the Chazon Ish. Now, the truth is he went through many, many others, right? Many, many others. Now, to be fair, that these types of arguments don't just work against the Chazon Ish, but at some level, they also work against who? The Beis Yitzchak we saw last week, right? Because what's true on the biblical level might also true for the might also be true for the rabbinic prohibition of the rabbinic prohibition of Molid, where Molid as well, even though we saw the parameters are very complicated, it's very clear that whatever Molid is creating something new. And once you have this yesod that anything which is derech tashmisha, which is done in the way that's normally used, that's not considered creating, so that might be a way of negating the derabbanan as well of molid. So, okay, I think we'll, right, so to summarize what we've seen, now we've seen, right, two positions, right, we've seen the base, okay, the first thing we saw today was cases where there's a heated filament, and there we saw that the majority view following the Rambam is that it's Mavir, maybe Mavashel. Though we noted that based on Magen Avraham, Rav Goren was Mekel and felt that even turning on an incandescent light bulb or anything else with a heated filament is not fire d'oraita. Then we moved to electricity in general. And there we saw, last week had we already seen the position of Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes that it's derabbanan because it's molid. We saw all the problems with that last week, right, which is, you're not really creating something new. You're using that which exists. The whole category of molid is subject to machloket. No one really knows what it means, right? Etc. What? Yes, which is the most problematic of them, right? It's a very problematic sheet. Now then we move to what has become one of the most right, one of the most famous machmir positions, if not the most, which is the Chazon Ish says bone and machmir passage because you create something new and you bring it to life. And he's so convinced of this that he said it's true even if he said it on a timer. Shlomo Zalman pushes back and says, the timer, please, unless you set the timer forever, that's not bonus, that's grumma, that's indirect. And besides, when it comes to building, you're telling me building, he said, look at the sugya. Right, look at the sugya. If you build something that's totally disassembled, you reassemble it tight, fine, d'oraita. If it goes back together easily, then it's only derabbanan. And if it goes together easily and loosely, then it might be mutzal chatchila. And yet we have other sugyot that say like a folding chair is mutzal chatchila. So what's the yisod? The yisod is that that's not called building at all. How does the Chazon Ish look at that sugya and say electricity is worse than any of those? It's creating something new. Shlomo Zalman looks at these sugyas and says, no, it's the opposite. Electricity closing a circuit is the best, right? It's like a folding chair, which is less. Right, a folding chair which is completely attached. Right, you're not assembling or reassembling anything. You're using that which exists. You're opening and closing a faucet. You're opening and closing a door. That's called derech tashmisho. That's not bonet. It's not makapatish. That's nothing. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman writes these series of letters when he's much younger, much junior than Chazon Ish. But he said, "Mechilat v'otzeretah." What are you talking about? Okay. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman really becomes a dominant force in electricity. The problem is that no one really knows what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. Okay? No one knows what he said. Even though he wrote tshuva after tshuva after tshuva after tshuva on the topic, it's very hard to figure out what he said. So we'll try to look at Rav Shlomo Zalman a little bit more. But just to sort of make it complicated. In one tshuva, he goes through the Beit Yitzchak. And he says, or the Beis Yitzchak, or whatever, and he just says, you know, I don't like it because of this reason, all the reasons we talked about last week. But in the last line, he says, Ukvar horezakein. Right, what does kvar horezakein mean? The elder has already ruled. Right, which many people take to mean that he didn't understand the Beis Yitzchak, but in terms of psak, he passed him like the Beis Yitzchak anyways. Right, that's one way of understanding Shlomo Zalman, was that he didn't really agree, he didn't understand it, but he put his authority behind it anyways because he deferred to Beit Yitzchak. That's one way of understanding him. There's a whole other group of poskim who say, no, that's not what Rishon LeZalman meant. Rishon LeZalman was correct in taking apart the Chazon Ish and taking apart the Beit Yitzchak. The problem is that he doesn't really tell you then what his conclusion is, right? And there you have basically three positions, very quickly. One is that he basically thought it was mutter. And we just sort of have like a, we just treat it as usher, or it's a minhag that it's usher, or something like that. Right, those are two variations, right? That it's mutter, but we treat it as usher, or mutter, that it, there's a minhag that it's usher. There are others, and this is what we already saw in Rabbi Rabinovich, who said maybe it's not usher at all in terms of malacha or anything like that. It's usher because of one of the various non-Shavistic prohibitions, right? Of Uvdin Dechol, right, which is the way Henkin took it, and we saw Rabbi Rabinovich took it. But Rishon LeZalman was, on the one hand, the most dominant writer on it in many ways. On the other hand, did not make it very, very clear as to what his actual formal conclusion was, which created a lot of complexity. But let's leave it there for now. Yeah. So there's, it's not really usher, but we treat it as usher. It's not really usher, but there's a minhag to treat it as usher, which is different. Yeah, it's, right? Meaning that's a bit of more of a formal one, right? Jaxer and Ray Broyd in their article many years ago on electricity said it, that Rishon LeZalman says there's a minhag to treat it as usher. He doesn't really say that. I'm not sure they're still convinced by it. I don't know. You have to ask them. Right, that's a little bit more of a formalization of we'll treat it as usher, even though we don't know why. Right, it sounds like it's less formal than that. It's more like, you know, it's usher, I just don't know exactly why. And then there's that other position that, no, it's mutter on the halacha level, it's usher because of the more...